Should I be somewhere? I feel so
I'd like to call to order the August 6, 2025 Newtown Borough Council work session. Please stand and join me with the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, moving on to public to be heard. Do we have any public to be heard? Yes, please.
Hi. I'm Amy Smith. I'm not a borough resident in the township, but I'm here on the behalf of Newtown Historic Association and in particular for Newtown Historic Market. And I know recently you just passed the smoking food vendor ordinance. It's going to greatly impact what we do at Market Day. As I was reading through, it looked like Market Day, our normal Market Day has 7 to 10 what you would consider mobile food vendors. And the new ordinance, as I read it, says special events can only have 4. So they'll greatly impact us in that way. Last year we had 7. They all sold out. It was very popular and sold out before the end of the day. Market Day has been going on for 49 years at this point. It's been a Newtown tradition. It brings lots of members, lots of people into our community, to the restaurants and businesses here. So we're hoping that since we applied for the permit back in February or March, maybe there'd be some kind of consideration or some way of working with us or considering some kind of grandfathering, since we had already applied for the permit before this. There's other things that I have concerns about just as running this event. Number of vendors was the one. The other things in the ordinance that are going to be challenging for us would be things like you can only have food vendors set up an hour before the event, be gone within an hour afterwards. When we are putting 80 some crafters and food vendors in on those closed streets around the Historic Association, some of them are narrow streets, and we have to kind of really time things. A food truck is larger than these craft tables, and you don't want all these craft tables and the merchandise set up and then a food truck kind of coming through. So it's very kind of staggered and challenging way to set up. So I might need more time ahead of time, not that serving or anything, but just to get in place. I'm sure about some of the permit process for the food vendors themselves and how I need to direct them on what to do and the different insurances, for our event versus the individual food vendors. I also have questions in regard to, we have food trucks, we have tented food, we have some that are prepackaged, some that are, people are going to eat that day. Sometimes in the store, there was like a farmer's market portion. So we have maybe a vendor selling honey. So where do they?
I hate to interrupt you. It's just total your time to address council. Is Market Day approved as a special event permit every year?
Yes.
Okay, so the food truck ordinance isn't applicable to events that are approved under a special event permit. So that the parameters for food trucks and the other set up and staging for your... What?
We have a special event permit for food trucks that go in addition to the special event.
Okay. No, I thought it was pull down. Am I speaking...
I think it's part of it.
Yeah, because we have special event, we have resident, we have business. We have 3 different versions. Thanks.
And 7 food trucks or 7 food booths?
We've got a mix because you also have, there's wording in there, what's a food vendor versus food truck. I mean, there's some additional ones that are more the table and tent setups. So there's a whole variety there. So last year there was like a pizza guy, that's a food truck, a barbecue food truck, Asian one, they're all back. We added a couple more. There was Good Nose, you know, big food trailer. There was a donut place. So it's similar. And they bring in big vehicles, some generators, some not. And then there's additional tenant vendors. So it's a mix. So I'm not sure, you know, but I just, we have concerns. It's definitely going to affect our event. Don't know if there's any way you can work with us or what we could do.
Give the solicitor some time to.
I think if you can send us your concerns via email, so we have them written down and we can address them. You know, it's not. I don't know that we can address them right now because we have to look into it.
Right,
so
sure.
If you send them,
make you aware of the concerns.
Yes. No, I appreciate it.
How we can.
So if you send them to Craig, he can loop in Greg, and we'll figure this out.
Okay. All right.
I can't promise anything, but we're definitely going to look into it.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you done, Amy?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Do we have any additional public to be heard?
Yes, Tara Rickman, Longview Town Borough. I would just like to support Amy and the new tennis store association in Market Day. Chip sold out some of the trucks before I got here. So I'm just beyond in support of her points as everybody works together.
Awesome. Thank you. Any additional public to be heard? Okay, Michelle, moving on to the engineer's report.
Thank you. I do not have any items that have to be forwarded to the regular council meeting. My engineer's report is in front of you if anybody has any questions. One thing to bring you up to date on is the cross lane sidewalk and bicycle shower project. We heard from the contractor last week that because of his schedule, he will not begin work until the first or second week of next month.
And the residents along the path are aware of that? Or will be?
They will be soon because I heard about that.
Okay. All right. Good. Any questions for Michelle?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, John is not with us today, so would anyone like to volunteer to give the mayor's report, or I can?
Oh, please, I'll do.
Okay, well, so we have two special event requests. The first one is Fall Fest, sponsored by our own recreation board on Saturday, September 13th from 4, well, it says a.m., but I don't know, it's not. Right. 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Linton Memorial Park, which will include DJ, food trucks, and alcoholic beverages. Rain date is September 20th. If you remember, they did this last year, and it turned out really nice. And then the next one is the Newtown Holiday Parade, sponsored by the Newtown Business Association on Sunday, December 7th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. along a designated route with no rain date. Anyone have any questions? I have something to say about the parade, but
I did too. So
okay, so we were made aware of some issues with the Newtown Business Association's last event, the car show, that I would like to address with them and clarify with them before we approve this event. They did not notify fire rescue or EMS about the event, so they didn't know what's happening, and our special events form requires them to do so. Also, they had food trucks and parked them on borough property in the borough hall parking lot, and we were unaware of that. It wasn't part of their application. It wasn't communicated to us. So those trucks were not inspected until halfway through the event when the fire department found out about it. So I just want to make sure that they're aware. We know that they've violated some of our rules and regulations before we approve this event, make sure it doesn't happen again. I will move to vote on this next week, but I'm going to ask Craig or Chief or someone to reach out to the organizer.
We have time.
Yeah. Gina?
Well, I know that it's some concerns as well, only because of some things that have been on social media, that this was going to be a very different event than in prior years, that $100,000 have been raised to put on this event, and that it was now being billed as kind of the largest, most best, amazing parade with celebrities, and also it's the Newtown Business Association. I'm just a little bit concerned about how that's going to look in our small little cute little town. So I would love it if somebody from the business association could be here at the next meeting so we could ask questions, particularly in light of what happened with the car show. Yeah. Just I would like some level of comfort about what this event's going to look like.
I mean, specifically scale.
Yeah.
How much bigger is it going to be? Because
we're a small town.
Our road is only this wide, you know?
That brings me to a question. Is it typical that the start time of the holiday event is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.? Is that typical?
Yeah, I had that concern too. That one
that's
five,
that is a long time to have.
That's for setup.
Yeah, right. For setup. But do we have anything that sort of determines how much time they're actually going to have the roads blocked?
They're usually about 1:30. We're shutting them down.
Right.
They take off around 2 o'clock.
But if they, is there anything where specify like your grade must be this, yes, or cannot exceed this amount of time? Just thinking about congestion, people think that means for our residents, you need to come in and out of town. So,
well, typically on the permit, it does say road closures and gives long to time, as you know, so it should be on their application.
And they don't have the
time, so they would have
the
actual,
that would be
yeah,
a question.
Then, actually,
yeah.
On this.
So it's just a concern that 8 to 5 is a long, kind of ambiguous, especially I did see the social media post for that, and I'm concerned, well, are they going to use the time from 8 to 5 for a road closure? So something to think, to Gina's point, it'd be nice to ask them what their plans are.
Okay. So on the application is the contact information. And if you can't get a hold of the chairperson, I know the alternate, so I can reach out to her.
The other part of that,
Yeah, and then they're newly hired, I don't know what her title is, or admin, yeah, Suzanne, I know her, so I can reach out.
So if this is going to be bigger and better and longer and wider, is it the same route? And where, how are they actually organizing and setting up?
It's the same route.
It looks like the same.
And they're all going to be setting up in the vicinity of the stocking works? And
I would assume so, I think. Awesome.
But if it is bigger and different, then we should clarify.
Okay. So we'll ask someone to come then to our meeting in 2 weeks. All right, then moving on to special event reminders. There's Music on the Street, sponsored by the Opus Outreach Foundation at 16 South State Street, Thursdays through August 28th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. No rain dates. Okay. Greg, moving on to the
solicitor's
report.
Sure. The first is an action item, but with a little explanation behind it. As you may recall, at our last business meeting, there was a lengthy conversation, and council adopted a resolution for to use the borough's powers of eminent domain on 22 Liberty Street, which is the current police station. As I mentioned at that meeting, prior to us exercising that power, we reached out to the NFA and offered a 6-month extension of the lease to allow us to go back to the table. Currently, the lease expires August 14th, which is 8 days away. So in the interim, we have negotiated that the term that the NFA came back to us with is that there needed to be some type of increase in the rent. As we also discussed previously, council had considered an increase in the rent and anticipated an increase in rent for a new lease term to begin with. So we responded to them and stated that it needed to be within our appraised value range from the appraisal that my office had commissioned on behalf of the borough for the property. As it plays out, there is a letter in front of you that it would extend, that the NFA is accepting the offer of a 6-month extension as proposed by the borough to extend the lease on the property from August 14th, 2025 to February 14th, 2026. So it's a full 6 months at the rate of $3,200, which is squarely within our appraised rental value for the property based on the appraisal. This continues the terms of the current lease for those 6 months, but allows us to go back to the table. My understanding that the NFA has begun the process to acquire their own appraisal so that we can meaningfully meet and discuss apples to apples, hopefully, and come to some type of, hopefully come to a conclusion of this sometime before February. So are there any questions on this extension?
We're going to do a work session in business all at once. So, question for me on that. Yeah, no, that's fine. If I make a motion, then we can do it anyway. Either way, if anyone has questions now, that's fine. I'll still take public comment before we vote.
So the resolution that we passed last time will still be in effect.
It will be.
So if everything breaks down in the next 6 months, we don't have to come back.
Correct. The resolution is still in full force in effect. It doesn't obligate us to act. I think as we discussed at the business meeting, we don't have to move to the next step of the eminent domain process, but we have the underlying resolution in effect that should this fall apart, should we be at a point where we're back in the same spot as we were a couple weeks ago, where there is no movement and no hope in sight, we can begin the process to acquire the property if necessary. But this allows us to go back to negotiations where we started and hopefully have productive conversations.
Any additional comments or questions from council? Okay, I would, right, go ahead.
So the month now, prior to this, the month was happening on the 31st.
Right.
So we're leaving the past in the past and restarting at the new rate on the 14th shall be the first month.
We can, yes. Yes. I guess the question is what are we doing between the 1st and the 14th for August? And we can.
And we have paid August. Again,
okay,
because we're out there
absolutely first, as we should have,
and so it just means that there's a 2-week month somewhere.
We'll work that out and appropriate a share with the NFA.
And I did use some appropriated.
Thank you.
Okay, so then I'll entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a 6-month extension for the lease of 22 Liberty Street.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We've already spoken. Do we have any public comment? Please.
Amy Malloy, Liberty Street. I just wanted to clarify. The solicitor said the new rate and his voice went down, so it was not.
Yeah. So for the 6-month extension, it's $3,200 a month, which is well within our appraised range. So we all felt very comfortable with that.
Great. Thank you.
No problem.
Not the bottom and not the top.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No,
He just said not the bottom and not the top. Okay. Yeah. His voice drops down as a speech therapist, I can tell you. But we'll give him a megaphone. Right back, first grade. Speak up. I'm going to have my essence list.
Yes, go ahead, Karen.
Since you're resetting, what is it exactly that you're going to set? In other words, for example, are we having the same people at the table to the negotiations?
I will say the main difference is they now have counsel. So they are being advised by somebody. So it will be different.
So whoever's doing the negotiation with borough, it's going to be the same people.
Yeah. Which is our fire/police committee, which is myself, Josh and Mayor Burke, Craig. Yep. Any additional public to be heard? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes.
Yeah, I'll be able to sign this and then we'll transmit it.
Okay, you need me to sign.
Both of us.
Oh, okay.
My next item is the intergovernmental agreement with Newtown County regarding the pedestrian bridge project. But unless you object, I would turn it over to you to discuss because I feel like it's your passion project. So why duplicate efforts?
Okay, no problem. All right, so the latest version of this, I was uploaded to ShareFile this morning. So I don't know how many of you had an opportunity to look at it, but I just thought I'd give you an overview of why we need it and what is in it. So the pedestrian bridge project is being funded by a $999,979 grant. And the assumption is that the project will be covered by that grant, but it's a shared project with the township. And the concern was to have an agreement in place that addressed costs that exceeded what the grant would cover. And so that could include, so the grant has certain thresholds, like you can only spend so much on this and so much on that. So it's not like you get a pot, you can do whatever you want with it. So much for engineering, so much for administration, that sort of thing. So we wanted to make sure that there was an agreement in place so that if there were costs that exceeded that, that there was an agreement about how they should be addressed. Some of those things we've set in this agreement would be shared equally, but then there might be things that come up from either the borough or the township that the other municipality doesn't think they should have to share. And so there is a process that was outlined in this agreement that there would be a committee that had one representative from each municipality and one from the Newtown Creek Coalition, which is the third party in this activity, and that any of those expenditures that would then be reviewed by that committee to determine whether it should be shared equally by the two municipalities. And that's basically the purpose of it.
And so where we're at right now is you've made the final edits from our end, and
right,
you're sending it to the township.
Provided to the township solicitor, who's reviewing it. I will see if there are changes.
We can keep it on the agenda for next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then if we haven't, hopefully we'll hear from them that they agree, because if not, then,
Is the decision of that committee binding on the parks?
It would be if the agreement is signed, right?
Yeah. It's creating the process to resolve that. So there's a dispute resolution portion too, but it ultimately it's going to be the magnanimous nature of the Creek Coalition, this dispute between the borough and the township to tip the scales in one way or another. Unless Julia, you can tell me if you feel differently, I don't think we anticipate much friction. It's just in case there is something that, say, the township wants to see this and the borough goes, that's not part of this project, we have a way to talk about that before going right into the dispute resolution process.
And I know I personally didn't have time to review it, so I'm planning on reviewing it and bringing any questions or comments I have next week. I don't foresee
2 weeks.
2 weeks, sorry. Yeah. I don't foresee having any issues. Julia was very thorough, but I could say you guys should do the same. Anything else on that? Any other questions on that, guys?
And I know the township plans too. As long as we have everything worked out, also plans to approve it this month. I think their second meeting, which is after our second meeting. So
there's every other one. Are they finally meeting once in August?
They've only met once in August.
Yeah, yeah. Summer.
Okay.
So that'll be next week they meet.
Yes, that's what I was just told last night.
Yeah, at
the planning committee.
Once a month in the summer, we should.
We tried that. I mean, then we had to throw in an extra meeting every so often because it was business.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think they're related today, so I'll follow up with them.
Yeah, so hopefully they will be fine with it.
We'll work it out in the next week.
Right.
If anybody does have any individual comments in your review, I guess based on that information from Michelle, please send them my way if there's any significant issues and I can incorporate them into the negotiation with the solicitor.
Okay, great. And thank you, Julia, for all your work on that. Okay, anything else, Greg?
Nothing else for me.
All right, thank you. Greg, moving on to the manager's report.
Okay, thanks. I did send a report around.
And I want to say, what we asked for, you totally did. So that it's such a great report.
Oh, good. Thank you. I will try that updated and monthly. I have one item on the agenda tonight, which is a bit of a housekeeping resolution that I assembled, and it is, though, Greg, in the drive, if you want to repeat that. It's pretty straightforward, but that enables the borough to, for routine, i.e. monthly recurring payments, allow us to find our way into the world of electronic payments for those things, which we have not done yet, but it's certainly available for a lot of the vendors that we have transactions between. So that's what this enables. The one variable in this is the amount, which I put as an upper limit of $20,000. And that primarily is for one payment, which is our monthly health insurance. If people are uncomfortable with that amount, we can adjust it. Most of our similar recurring bills are far less than that. But for that reason, and that one being an important timely one, which we've not been in any issues with, it would make sense to keep it for that, for those reasons. But other than that, this is kind of routine and covers all the same things that
I had a legal, but like, could you add language that is the one except, like, lower the number and make an exception for health insurance or whatever?
The amount jumped out at me right away because it was higher and higher than the bidding threshold and all these other things. So, but the way this is structured is that council basically creates a recurring payment. So it's presented to council as something that can be pre-authorized as this recurring payment. So it's, that would be the specific carve out. It's not that Craig selects the payments and they just go into recurring. Craig says, have to pay the health insurance every month. It's $20,000. Do we have to do this in the monthly expense report, or can I just have authorization to pay this recurring payment every month? And so then council will be reviewing the amount for each individual one, as opposed to just, it's not a sign off on with a seal.
Got it.
So there's no limit then on it's 20,000. So it's not, is it a $20,000 invoice every month?
Just under it, could go up.
Right, we'll probably vote it all up, and then we have to address that. The other question is, should we sunset that or have an annual renewal of that authorization? Because I think
the agreement says, or the resolution says that it will be reevaluated during every budget season. What can and cannot be recurring?
I would probably get rid of the number because it probably creates some procedural issues. But as long as council is approving each recurring payment and we're doing it on an annual basis, I think it's sufficient.
And then these checks would be paid electronically as opposed to in the mail.
They would be paid electronically. The check register would be set in the folder. The motion each month would just change to include the word ratify any recurring payments that have already been paid.
So we don't have to worry about someone like washing checks for those regular amounts, right?
For some time, we may still worry about that because, we have to set ourselves up.
Once it's set up, though, then we don't have to worry about that.
Have less risk in that area.
Yeah.
For sure.
I assume we're behind the curve on this. So we're not, creating a new wheel or anything.
No.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, I can only imagine what kind of time that's going to free up for you, which is important. So I just had a couple of, editorial things that I can, it's just the consistency of the term borough manager slash board treasurer, and then sometimes it's borough treasurer, sometimes it's borough manager. So I just think we need to be consistent.
It's true. I felt a little bit of which side of me is authorizing what. So that's where I deferred those lists.
Yeah, we'll clean this up
okay.
for adoption.
Okay.
Just wanted to present it for discussion.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think anything we can do to join 21st century is a good thing. Those are the only comments I had, was the consistency of the term and the number, which we just talked about. So.
Yep. No rush. We can try and queue it up the next meeting or this one year.
Well, I mean, thankfully, the budget season's coming up. So as long as we get it done in time to do that, you know, we're good. Does anyone else have any questions or comments on this? Okay. Anything else, Craig, that's not on your report?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on to my report. So in hiring Craig, we now have two non-uniform full-time employees. And talking to previous presidents about how that kind of review process worked, I realized we didn't have a performance review policy, a standard policy that happened the same every year in writing. So I asked Greg to put something together, which is what you have in front of you. So it's obviously the policy itself and then the performance and evaluation forms. And so I'm looking for any questions or comments on this.
I was overwhelmed by the math problem on the evaluation form. It's like, I'm just wondering. To add every, weight everything to a total of 44. I understand later on, because then there are then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other ones that could possibly come up to 48, actually, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So then 8 times 6 is 42. 46.
I don't understand what you're...
No, I'm trying to figure out how do you end up with 100.
Putting your name.
That's it. I don't know. I don't know. I've had to evaluate employees, and I know it's a very... not a pleasant experience, I think, on either side of the line. So I don't know whether this is overkill or underkill.
It's a fairly commonly used form for some of our municipalities that we work with. It was something that was successful. I am seeing the math problem that I didn't do the math. But I think it was tailored, and I'll have to talk to the attorney who did the math. But I think if we get feedback on the
content.
Criteria and the content, we can adjust the math to hit 100.
I guess
extra credit.
Yeah.
I guess I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, like, it's either you meet, there's no, like, it's not, I mean, I feel like fails is don't meet the expectation that it's assigned to 0. Like, there's a 4-point gap between meets expectation and fails. And I kind of feel like there is, like, a little bit of an area there. Like, if you were, let's say that someone was deficient in an area and you want them to just bump up to meets expectation, I just think that, is it clear that they completely don't meet it, or is it like, you know what I mean? Like, are they on the borderline of it and they just need to improve that? Like, I'm thinking about benchmarks for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like a 2, to me, the way that this is scaled, it should be a 6, 4, 2, 0. Like, there should be a fourth column that's kind of like, does not meet expectation. And then one that fails, like, expectation, you're just not.
Okay.
Like when you look at progressive, the words here are dynamic, imaginative, forward thinking. Well, someone could be 2 of those things, so they're meeting expectations on 2 of them,
right?
But failing on 1, so there needs to be like a little You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I understand
the
what you're saying.
Scoring only to get to a score really to determine whether a improvement plan is necessary. So it's not like, I don't think it's necessarily a, do they go from a 0 to a 4 in the next year? It's what their end score is, but I understand the point. I think we can revise it to also provide that metric to show.
I will say, because it's a policy, we can review and make changes at any time. And I suspect after this first year, this year of going through this process for the first time, we'll need to make some changes that better fit us.
So I guess the question then is, let's say it's the first sheet under goals where you're going to have to list whatever it is you're listing and weighting it. I can understand by year two, you've had an opportunity to talk to the employee and discuss what the goals ought to be for the coming year. But in the first year, what do you do? And if you're going to the essential functions of the job, is this coming from a job description? And how do you weight those things? Like,
I see your point for the goals for the first year.
Yeah,
I think I'm fine with the goals, like the first year, the goals being set up for the second year. But I still think that the performance standards can be evaluated in year one, and we use that for whatever discussion we need for year one.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. Like, without going into this without any set goals already, the only thing we can really do is evaluate performance.
And then do you really need to have the two separate things? Is there a way to combine the items on the second page?
I personally think goals are important because if there are set goals and they're not met, but then there's like an ask for a rate, you know, like.
Right.
Right. I mean, we want
goals.
Yeah.
The only other thing is in terms of the weighting, weight,
yeah.
It's important that that's understood ahead of time. Like, to give somebody a great grade, but oh, by the way, doesn't count, right? Or the opposite is just not fair. People know what they're shooting for, what their expectations are, what's most important about their position.
I would maybe even suggest that, and this could be part of the policy, that this form and the goal setting, even though it says it's at the beginning of the evaluation period, for a new employee, or even the first time we're doing that, at first we're a little bit beyond, but if for a new employee, let's say we bring in someone new to work in the borough, that at that 6-month check-in, you do some goal setting for that yearly review, and then the yearly review, then you do the next year, so that it kind of sets it up for that first. As for institution as policy, we're kind of past that point. I think it just needs anyone, however you feel you want to evaluate the meeting of the expectations for that first, for your existing employees.
Yeah. All that being said, you know, there is no form that's perfect,
right,
even close to perfect. But it is, I think, helpful and appropriate that they're not just ad hoc it anymore. There's like a benchmark and people, there's something to measure, to aim for, and to measure to. So I think it's a good thing.
We ask the employee to evaluate themselves prior to the sit down.
It's not currently part of the policy, but I think that might be a good idea.
Have them fill out the form.
Yeah. The performance form. I mean, obviously the goals are
really helpful.
It can be very eye-opening.
It could be the goals as well, too. Did I do it?
Well, I mean, the first time when we're setting.
No, I'm talking about.
Yeah, moving forward. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good idea. Any besides that and the math and maybe two, like somewhat fail. Greg's got some changes to make.
Yeah.
Anything else? If those changes are made, would we still feel comfortable voting on this in 2 weeks?
I would.
Because ideally, I'd like the reviews to happen right before budget in case we need to take into consideration a pay sheet.
Right.
So I'd like to do them next month.
Right.
Sure.
Sorry to have this circulated by midweek next week. So
okay.
There's plenty of time to review.
So when you say do them for the next, for the budget period, are you kind of hearing what Chris would say, saying about not if you don't have a baseline now, but it's the fairness of like, is this to create a baseline moving forward into the next evaluation period?
I mean, it has to be. There's
we. Like, I don't feel like a student could be held accountable to this, you know, upcoming in October for this past year if, you know,
I mean, performance totally can be.
So it's not like there's a company. Right?
I mean,
right.
Like I said, I. This isn't going to be setting goals because obviously there were no set goals to, but there is a job description and performance can be evaluated off that.
Okay. So
and reviews were happening before, just not in any kind of formalized standard way.
Right. And I agree that we need to have some, you know.
Sure. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Moving on to agenda items proposed for our August 20th, 2025 council meeting. The only thing we have is the sidewalk permit for 348 South Lincoln Avenue. Craig, did you want to talk about this at all? I believe you guys all saw this on share file. We have an applicant who's looking to dig up a concrete sidewalk and replace it with brick pavers. Hi. Welcome. Our zoning requires that they get approval from council if they're going to change the material. So you saw photos. I don't know if you have any comments or questions that you'd like to ask the applicant, or I don't know if you have anything you'd like to say.
Someone asked
me. Why brought the bricks?
No, I bought a brick.
I mean, yeah.
You still throw it.
These are from a demolition in Philadelphia.
Beautiful.
Okay, from a historic building.
Beautiful.
I thought that was going to go on my foot.
Yeah, we don't have that.
They are extremely heavy. Extremely. Our house was built in 1875. It was the Trolley Master's house. And
the trolley barn was out back. So you see, one because the mules pulled the real electric trolleys around. When the trolley business closed down in 1923, they plowed it under. So I'm still pulling up bullet shoes, railroad spikes, conductors, tires. When we moved in 98, it was basically an abandoned property. Two brothers who owned it had foreclosed, they were foreclosed on. So all of the roof, you can see the sky through. But standing, see metal roof on that house. I've restored all the electrical, all the plaster, all the plumbing fixtures have been ripped out. I used to work at the Wotec School in Ferguson. And my background is in architectural painting. And I can do everything to put a roof on your house. I'm painting to see if I can rewire your house. I mean, 76 years old, most of my life, as I used to be. So, some of the work I have to form out now simply because I spent a lot of time with my hands. I don't know how much you know about our property. I endeavored to keep this property looking pretty much the way it did. Back in time, it was the Trolley Master's house. I brought this with me. Very few people in this town approved the problem to their house. I'll show this. You know who George Warstall was? He's the guy who built the power plant on South Lincoln Avenue. And he also was president of Newtown Electric Trolley Company. That's the deed from Doylestown. He bought my property for $400.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being a very good steward.
Whether
of that
property. Makes any difference, I doubt very much there was concrete poured in front of that. And there was, you know,
honestly, we all see. I think we're all on board with this.
Yeah. So I guess my only question was how I couldn't tell from the pictures. Were you planning to replace the whole sidewalk in front of your house, or just the section
the
where
whole,
you're
the whole thing, including the part that abuts the road?
So just the holes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's.
When we moved in, there was brick from the house. There was the sidewalk.
Yes.
And then there was brick in front of it.
Right.
Unfortunately, whoever did the sidewalks did sort of a half-baked quickie job. There's not much of a foundation to it. It's kind of solid pitch. You can see it in the picture.
Yeah.
These bricks, done the way I think your code requires, they're not going to.
It's really beautiful.
And how many did you get from Philadelphia?
Well over a
thousand.
And you put it on a car.
I was going
to say, there's a lot of multiple trips from Philly. They were going to throw them away.
How did you contact them? Or they
were in a pile. Kathy.
They
just said they were demolishing it. There wasn't anything.
That's how we did the house. We
got a master.
We have 2 4-foot tubs we found on the island. We have the original pine down flush toilets that I restored.
Wow.
Downstairs and upstairs.
Yeah.
The kitchen was good, so I had to do the whole thing over. We still have the original hutch. I'm a little bit sensitive because I brought this just to show you. This is from 1959. If you look at the last page of the Welcome to Newtown book that they sell at the hardware store, that's my house on the back with the grill trolley. And at one time, I probably shouldn't say that, my wife said, don't say anything. Newtown was a joint connection. My house was on the Pennsylvania Historic Register. And somehow it got conveniently dropped in the 70s when it was rezoned. Okay? This is from 1980.
Oh, outside of the historic district.
Yeah.
With all due respect, we used to be in the walking thing, not anymore. I don't complain about it because in some ways it gives me more latitude in how I. The house is still the original Portisan Cedar. It was 1975. Show me another. The only other property is the yellow carpet place down the street. All the trim came from Frosted. The whole house came from Frosted. So whether that makes any difference to the historic commission, I'm a little bit peeved, as you can tell, that all the work I've put in, all the money I've spent in this house, it's like nobody even mentions the trophy office. It's an integral part of this town system. Why?
Well, that's probably a subject for another day. It's a good subject.
I'm curious. Yeah. I mean, here's 1959. It was a big deal in 1959. You can see for yourself. Welcome to the trolley office. That's the original invitation.
Well, this is what's going on the tours.
I think you need somebody that's actually swung a hammer.
Well, so I have a recommendation for you.
More like it was in the back.
Oh, we appreciate that.
It's not very much.
No, I'm saying when the pedestrian bridge is going up here, that's going to be right next to the old trolley tracks goes up, there's going to be historical signage on there.
The ticket office is in the duplex right next door.
So I think I will remember to tell the historic people who are not part of the historic association, but the people who are going to be working on
the
signage.
I'm not going to get the property reassigned.
Not to do that, but to acknowledge that what your house was on that lawn.
You didn't even get a sign. Everybody else in town got a sign. One of those little pieces.
Oh, I think you could still get
it. I made one.
I was going to say, you could still get
it. I made it.
Yeah.
In terms of the brick, obviously we're all on board with it.
Yeah.
What is the next step? Do we have to, is this enough for the permit to go through? Do we have to make a motion?
I believe you do because the ordinance says that council has to approve if there is a different material. Before you do, though, I just want clarification on the permit. You said your property is 50 feet long, and that's the whole 50 feet
that's
even after, and that's what you're going to have replaced.
The whole
50 feet. Okay.
And if you want because it's concrete out for the road, it might look kind of odd to put brick up the sidewalk and not do the little piece that busts.
From the curb to the concrete
sidewalk.
Okay. Are you planning on doing that also?
If you want it, sir.
It's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have more than enough.
Okay.
Valley speaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just
writing it up.
You could just grab it.
Yeah.
I don't think we're talking about
it. The house,
we're just approaching
material. We're approving material. That's it.
Yeah, it's, I understand the consideration. Yeah, we've really tried to keep the place. I don't know the way it was when the last guy was.
Do they need a permit then to do this as well?
Yeah.
They already applied.
Yeah. That's the permit.
Yeah.
Terms of methods and something.
Yes.
All that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I would entertain a motion.
So move.
Can we do it?
Well, you have to say
it. Say it.
Yeah.
Well, can I?
Can we do a motion tonight?
Oh, sorry. I meant you're right. Next week.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Okay, so
yeah, it's not clear.
We can't make a motion tonight because it's not longer. But in 2 weeks at our meeting at the
same time, we have piles that are higher than
we'll make a motion
at your house right now. Yeah, behind the fence.
Did you went to Philadelphia? Old City.
So
down by Society.
Down in the back room.
That's crazy.
Crazy, you found it. So. So in two weeks, if you want to come,
when we got the camp, it had stood empty for years.
Prove it.
And animals lived in it. Kids partied in it. It was a mess. I mean, in the kitchen, it was a wire with a light bulb, and that was our light fixture. You know, I mean, we've been trying to bring it back more. You know, and I wanted to use the brick for the sidewalk because I said the people across the street don't even have sidewalks. Right. They just have grass in the front, right?
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you lugging that brick. We appreciate the recycling of materials as well, of course. So 2 weeks. We will. Okay, Gina, moving on to first now.
Yes, we had a few openings come up for a variety of reasons, some people moving out of town, some people just stepping down. We still have our three members needed for the Human Relations Commission.
Yeah.
But the Joint Historic Commission needed one member, the Rec Board, one member, and the Zoning Hearing Board, two alternates, and we do have applications in for all four of those positions. So we should be able to vote on those at the next.
Okay, great. Any comments or questions for Dina? Okay, Josh, Rec Board?
Yep. So while we were having our meeting a few weeks ago, the Rec Board was meeting here with their meeting. And one of the items that came up is they are interested in purchasing and installing community message boards, at least primarily in the Linton Hill Park, because that's where they hold so many of the events. At the moment, whenever there's a movie or they're advertising for the Fall Festival, whatever it is, or even a cancellation, they're sort of tacking it up or tying it on or taking it on to the fence there by the playground. So this is something that they found. This is what the board slide three was. I just pass it down, share it, please. I just turn off. I don't know if this is the board that we would want to go if y'all are interested in having these installed at the park. But just wanted to open it up for discussion and thoughts.
What's the material? You know,
I do not know the material of this. This is just to get the ball going. Oh. So, what are the requirements? What do you all think? What would you like to see? Is it something that would...
This is for Linton Hill or
it is
Linton Park or, other parks as
well. Ideally it would be nice to probably, in my mind, when they brought this up, I was thinking, wow, we really would be nice to have some other places in town where we have community boards. So if they're the same. And places where people can gather and say, oh, it's what's happening in Newtown.
And then who would be
That's a great question. I think that at the park there, it would be for the Parks and Rec Department to put signage up. So it depends on location.
That's my concern about anything else. It's not good. What kind of thing is going for those?
I would assume they'd be locked.
I would hope so.
Okay.
And that looks like a significant size. Do you guys really have, does it need to be that big? Do you really have that much information that needs to be shared?
So I was at our council meeting when they had this meeting, so I don't have all the answers. This is just to get the ball rolling in terms of what your concerns are. I can take it back to them, we can talk about it. Or I can work with Craig to curate some signs that are within our CoStar program that would be easily accessible. We'd have more choices there. So
yeah, I don't know how well these like hold not just hold up, but because I'm not used, I don't see these places, right? So I'm not sure that there's a reason for that, but I don't know if it's an issue in terms of holding up or being visualized or what goes on them. But that's really, it's a little, I'm not used to seeing them.
You see them at parks, like public parks.
This would just be in public parks. So we have,
I mean, I understand Linton Hill because they can advertise their events right there for someone walking by who might not follow the Newtown Borough Recreation Board Facebook page.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand that. And I think that's a good idea because I think they'll get a better turnout. But I do agree, probably too small.
Yeah. And the other,
because they're really only putting up 2 or 3 8.5 by 11 flyers at a time, maybe not even.
But if there's something that we wanted to put up, such as like some of the equipment is under repair or something that police wants to clean, you know, that's something to notice that you could put up. Or
here's when street sweeping is happening.
Yeah, maybe even one alert thing, which is kind of another thought of having more community boards in town, but I think especially just this one over at that park for the record.
That's what they're really looking
That's
for.
That's what
right
they're
now.
Really
yeah.
looking for. But to have them in multiple places where people could pass by and say, oh, that's what's going on, might be nice just to consider.
But if you do that, people are going to start to ask, oh, can I put a flyer up there? I run this service or I run that service. Which
that's an important thing. We don't want to do that. It doesn't
exactly.
become a public
right.
forum. It's
I
for
would,
borough information.
Yeah, I would call it a community board. I would call it Newtown Borough information
right.
or something
right.
like that.
Right.
Yeah, Newtown Borough Parks and Rec or something like that.
I mean, I think maintaining it and making sure that the display inside is of quality is of concern. I know you see things like this in parks, and sometimes they look like they've been maintained, and sometimes they look like they've still got stuff that's been there for a year.
Well, they make nice flyers for their, but like,
oh, no, they do, but I'm saying is that there would need to be the responsibility. It's like,
yeah,
when the event is gone, the stuff comes down. So what goes back in there? So people aren't stuffing things in there.
Well, I mean, the only people who would have access are the rec board.
To behind the glass, yes.
Yeah.
So the board that they just found this board decision to me. It's not the one that they have to have or anything, I don't think, but it's around $500 or $600. It would probably cost money to install it. What does council think about that cost range?
Well, I'm assuming if it's smaller, it would be cheaper. And I would just ask where's the room in there? What's the budget? They haven't used all their budget, have they?
I doubt it, but
I mean, I would just look at their budget.
And I'm not sure if this is a dimension, but at the bottom it does say 26 by 42. That's pretty small, like 26 42. I don't know if that's the dimension. Like I said,
yeah,
it kind of stands out as like maybe that's the, it kind of looks bigger in this picture than 26 by 42 to me, but. It says message center 26 by 42.
So the inside, like the core.
Yeah,
part,
the inside.
Yeah,
right.
With the stable, but
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, those are 8.5 by 11
streets.
There's not that much space on either side,
right?
Yeah. So
So
space.
Overall, I think you know we're on board with
okay.
the idea, but just
okay.
need more specifics. Take those things into consideration.
And in terms of materials, what kind of materials?
Something weatherproof.
Right.
Weatherproof.
Let me think. So, Linton Park, is that in or out of the historic?
Out.
I think
one side's out, CVS is out.
CVS is out. The house behind it is out. It's in this, and then Sydney's house is in. I think it's out, so you don't have to go to hard for people. Eagle Scouts are always looking for projects. This might be an Eagle Scout project.
Nice. That's a good idea.
And it won't cost us anything and they'll install it.
Girl Scouts.
Well, it's a scout project. Yes.
Nice.
I could build it.
Huh?
Put it in.
No, they build them too. They have to go get the lumber.
Or they fundraise to buy them.
That's what's going to happen. Anybody wants to get
the same advice.
Okay. Yeah, are you good? Do you have any?
Yeah, I think this is for a lot of good information.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you. Any old business?
So, what was decided about the peace pole that's going up in Lynn?
So, when I polled everybody, the majority was okay with it going in Peaceable Kingdom. When I poked, Paul said whatever park we choose, they will look for a location and notify us where they want to put it. And then obviously if we said no, they find another place. But I'd like to get him now in touch with Craig because they, you know, there's like a dedication ceremony with it and all that kind of stuff. And they're going to have a choir. So I suspect they need a special event permit.
Right.
So I want to get that ball rolling. So as long as, you know, I think the only holdout was Josh, but that was because you weren't really here for the discussion, so you were just here. Yeah. So. Yeah. So I'm going to send you an email about that. Actually, Paul emailed me today, so. Okay, any announcements? Public to be heard.
I have a couple of problems. Sure. I'm just curious about the committee that is involved in the negotiations with the fire association during 2020. Is that the lease and non-union pension fund committee, or is it a special committee? It's one and the same.
It's the fire committee.
It's a separate fire.
Yeah, and it's typically the president of council, the mayor, and one additional council member.
Other committees have resident members on them. Is that not was that or has that been considered?
No. It's a council. It's a committee of council, much like budget and finance and the police and now you function.
Then the other question I have was for the decision to acquire 2238 under name. Is there an expiration to that or is that ad infinite in perpetuity?
As long as we file that resolution, from my understanding, it's open-ended. We can file the paperwork whenever we want.
If regardless of whether cancer turns over or like no expiration.
Correct.
And can subsequent councils go against that or take it away?
Yep. Yeah. Hey, any more public to be heard? Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn her.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passed.
I don't know.
Oh, well.